The weekend. Today we got sunny skies, high of 79, the northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight mostly clear, low of 57 with the northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunday looks like mostly sunny, high of 76, west northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. And out there on the Monterey Bay, the west winds 5 knots, increasing to 10 to 20 knots this afternoon. Wind waves less than 2 feet, becoming 3 feet in the afternoon with a west swell 3 to 5 feet at 11 seconds and a bit of patchy fog. Tonight out there, the west winds 10 to 20 knots, becoming northwest 5 to 15 knots after midnight. Wind waves 3 to 4 feet, west swell 3 to 5 feet at 11 seconds. And out there on Sunday, west winds 5 to 15 knots and then wind waves 1 to 3 feet, west swell 3 to 5 feet at 10 seconds. And for your KSCO King of the Hill traffic update, there was a traffic collision. Beach Drive, just south of Rio Del Mar Boulevard. It's a two-car crash, it looks like. And that was at 919. There's another traffic hazard here. There's a 10-foot tree in the roadway on Bromer at 30th Avenue. So that's what I got for you. If you see something out there that you need to let your fellow drivers know about, 475-1080. Give me a call, let me know, and I will let everybody else know. And for current temperatures, Watsonville's at 70 degrees. It's 65 in Monterey, 68 in Salinas, and here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios, at 68 degrees. The official time is 10:07 on the dot this Saturday, June 5th, 2010. Up next, we have this Saturday special with MZ. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
I'm a happy boy. Are you a happy girl?
Yeah, what?
I'm a happy boy because it's sunshiny outside.
I know, the weather's been fantastic.
And I think it's even warmer than 68.
You know what? Yeah, it's, well, right now, you mean?
Yeah, I just walked in and it wasn't no 68 out there. It was definitely at least 68 and a half.
Oh, right. Well, I don't get halves on my little thermometer here, so.
Hey, we're going to have a fun program today, a very interesting program. I think it's going to be real interesting because the guest, we might lose the guest in the middle of everything, but we'll see. Pharmacist Ben was great last night. To all of you out there in KSCO land that did not go to the Seacliff Inn, and actually the Seacliff Inn... We had to arrange for the Seacliff Inn to build, to construct capacity for another 3,000 people. And luckily we had the juice with them to be able to do that, to accommodate all the people who showed up. It was bursting at the seams, and everybody who was there wouldn't leave because, you know, the big buildup was not too much of a big buildup. I mean, it was great. So, but he's coming back in a couple months. So if you missed Pharmacist Ben live and in person last night and the night before in Salinas, there will be other opportunities. But right now, let's start our program officially. And listen very carefully to the promo, okay? Okay, yeah, here it is.
A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got teens, we've got time, teens, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Good morning. Listen to that. Hey, Carol, listen to this. I keep forgetting to tell people, to tell the engineering to change that pot so it doesn't make that terrible noise. Right? Okay, so now I've said it. Now, there's no excuse to ever come in again and hear that noise. All right, welcome to the Saturday special. We'll play the promo. Stay with us for the next 2 hours.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Recently, a coalition of more than 30 organizations argued in a letter to the FCC that the World Wide Web is an ideal place to hide hate speech and that the FCC should monitor hate speech on both talk radio and cable networks.
I wonder who's paying for the Kennedy funeral. Is it Cutty Sark? I played a game, and I said, I'm going to take a drink for every black person I see on the parade route, and I was sober at the end of the parade.
Join us this Saturday on the Saturday Special from 10 a.m. to 12 noon with your host, MZ, and Media Alliance, one of the signees to this letter. Is there a relationship between hate speech and hate crimes?
This president, I think, has exposed himself as a guy over and over and over again who has a deep-seated hatred for white people.
We'll talk about it this Saturday on the Saturday Special with MZ from 10 a.m. to noon on your Opinions. What Opinions? Radio station, AM 1080, KSCO.
That crossfire music signifies that our radio program is going to be fraught with controversy today. Fraught! That's a $10 void I loaned in school many years ago. It means full of. All right, I want to welcome our guest. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Hey, Tracy Rosenberg. Hey, Tracy.
Yeah, hi, Michael.
Hi. Okay, apparently you're on an unexpected choo-choo train ride that you had to do, but being the honorable person you are, you decided that the show must go on, and you're utilizing technology, you know, cell phone technology, and we're both hoping that it's not so terrible that it will be unusable. Is that correct?
That's totally true, and I want to, you know, apologize to start off with to your listeners, because every once in a while, there's going to be one of those choo-choo stop announcements, and you're going to know exactly where I am, whether you want to or not.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, bleep happens, you know, and we just have to deal with it. So, listen, Media Alliance is an organization that I've had a high regard for in the years that I've known about it. But can you tell us what Media Alliance is all about?
Of course. We've been around for 34 years. We're basically an association of journalists and folks that make media and folks that are concerned about the messages that they're receiving. What we try to do is support alternative, independent, what we would call unpopular or dissenting points of view in the media, protect their right to be heard, and protect the ability of sort of a wide range of voices to be heard on the air.
Right.
So we help independent and alternative media locally, help support it and sustain it. And we also try to be involved in policy issues in the speech to the extent that we can, that we think support a more democratic.
Okay. I would say on our end, we heard about, what would you say, Nikki, 68%, you know, the same degrees that we have.
Oh, no.
Huh? Yeah. I mean, I don't know. There's so much bad happen. Yeah. When are you going to be off the choo-choo train? Did you say a half hour from now?
Yeah.
Oh, well, now you sound fine.
I know. And now we have a moment of transition in the train. Let me do this. Let me give you a call back in about 5 minutes. I'm going to take a little bit of time to try to find a quieter spot.
Okay.
And I'll give you a call back.
That'd be great. And were you
just where we left off?
Sure. Were you able to hear the promo? You know, were you able to hear? You know, on your end, the promo.
Say about 68%.
Okay. I could play it for you again, or I could play it for you now, because I'm curious to know whether you think that any of the clips that Billy, our production manager, grabbed, masterful job in that promo.
Yeah.
If any of that even comes close to hate speech, in your opinion.
Let's do this. 5 minutes. I will call you back, and we'll start again.
Okay. Now, I will do a tap dance, you know. Or no, I'd rather not do a tap dance. Why don't we do the commercial break? Why don't we do the K's commentary and see if that's considered hate? No, we don't want to do that until Tracy can hear it. Let's do the commercials, Nikki. Yeah, let's do that. Okay, good.
Sounds great. I'll be right back.
All right, thank
back.
You. Bye-bye. She's going to call back. And, yeah, let's get the commercials out of the way. That's a terrible thing to say about what makes this radio station possible. Let's not get the commercial. Let's honor the advertisers by playing their spots that they paid good money for.
Don't put off till next year what you can create today.
With great deer season deals going on right now, you don't have to wait another day to get your project started with John Deere. Unbeatable financing options and savings up to $400 off make today the day for you to own a new John Deere. Great deals on versatile select series tractors, efficient easy track mowers, powerful compact utility tractors, and unstoppable Gator utility vehicles, as well as amazing savings on dozens of incredibly versatile attachments, mean John Deere has the value you want on the tools you need to take your vision from your head to your land today. John Deere has the great deals to get you started. The only question is, what will you create? For details on savings and financing options, see Pringle Tractor, your local John Deere dealer this deer season. Pringle Tractor in Watsonville and Salinas, or online at PringleTractor.com.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Hello, Charlie Friedman here. Listen to the things your friends and neighbors are doing for themselves with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Xbox 360 repair.
Solar energy kits. Musical Tesla coil.
Video output for my home media center.
Building a new server.
Repairing a student radio station.
More RAM and a sound card.
DSL line.
Network printing, scanning, and faxing for dentists.
Replacing antivirus on 12 machines.
Wireless network for court reporter agency.
Diagnosing sound card problem.
Building a 5-kilowatt amplifier.
Ham radio antenna.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Voted best electronics store 2 years running. Call Santa Cruz Electronics today at 831-479-5444 or visit at 2808 SoCal Avenue in Santa Cruz. Do it yourself and save money with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
¿Qué pasa, Pancho?
Things are going good, man. Mayor Alejo says we're getting fluoride put in our water.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Jose, it's free.
It's going to cost you plenty, Pancho.
No way, Jose. Mayor Alejo says everybody who drink it, get it free.
I don't want it.
But you get it, whether you want it or not.
It dumps you down. It's what the Nazis used to keep the people in the camps complacent.
That's good. I'm sending my kids to Camp FEMA this summer, Jose.
You don't want to go there. They're concentration camps. They use fluoride in the water.
Then they gotta be good, yeah?
Pancho, sodium fluoride is what they make rat poison out of.
Oh. Do they think we're rats?
No, Pancho. They think you're mice.
Linda Ellie Black, 27th Assembly District. I'm Gary Richard Arnold, running for Congress, and we approve of this message.
Paid for by Larius Evis for Superintendent of Public Instruction 2010, with funding from the Association of California School Administrators PAC, a coalition of principals and superintendents who support fiscal accountability, not authorized by any candidate or committee controlled by a candidate.
When you vote this year, you'll be faced with 12 candidates for superintendent. There's the usual collection of termed out legislators looking for their next office, but there's only one candidate who has actually been a superintendent, Larry Acetis. Larry Acetis has real experience balancing budgets using sound, fiscally conservative accounting principles. He's been called old school because Larry Acetis believes in teaching the basics, proficiency in math, reading, and science, the skills students need to succeed in today's tough economy. 12 candidates, but only one with proven experience, Larry Acetis. So when you see Superintendent of Public Instruction on your ballot, look for the retired school superintendent. There's only one, Larry Acetis, for superintendent.
This wet winter is adding tons of brush to your property's wildfire fuel load. Now for some good news from Bruce McCampbell of Turnpike Development. Turnpike's Hydro Axe Mulching Service can turn your weeds and brush into soil-conserving mulch just like that. And brush mulching is good for your soil, good for preventing fires, and good for preventing erosion. Don't wait until it's too late. Pick up your phone and call for Turnpike's Hydro Axe. The Hydro Axe will shred and mulch your coyote brush, manzanita, and poison oak choked acreage and clear your fire breaks faster than you can say lickety-split. Turnpike Development can also handle all your excavation, septic, drainage, and utility needs. Turn your fire hazard into a soil-conserving mulch. Call Turnpike Development today for fast, safe, and cost-effective brush clearing. That's Turnpike Development, 831-818-1712. 818-1712 or turnpikedevelopment.com. That's turnpikedevelopment.com.
Prejudice. Wrote a song about it? Like to hear it? Here it goes.
Free your mind.
Have you ever heard that?
That's an
old.
Hear,
it's old school.
I can't hear anything right now.
I turned it down. Uh-oh, it unplugged.
I can't hear anything right now. But am I on?
Yeah, you are.
I can't tell. What, okay, now I'm on. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey,
there we go.
Too much. I'm blowing my eardrums out. All right, I've got another. What did you ask me? What did you ask me if I heard before?
Oh, I just played a song.
No, I want to hear it again.
Okay, but the beginning of it is the key. This bit, well, you know, I pick a song for the topic.
Oh, you're the best.
You want a song about it? Like to hear it? Here you go. Free your mind.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. Let's suspend the rest of the program. Just finish playing that
and
songs like it.
Let's just listen to music. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Listen, I've got another commercial to play, okay? Listen very, very carefully. I'm going to play this commercial. You're playing all the others. I'm going to play this.
June 5th and 6th, Santa Clara Marriott.
That's today and tomorrow.
2010. Is it the beginning of the end or the end of the beginning? What you don't know can kill you. One conference, 10 controversial speakers against all odds and risking their lives to reveal the truth. Government cover-ups, secret societies, weapons of mass manipulation. Can they make a difference? And will the people wake up in time? Where other conferences end, Conspiracy Con begins. Come to Conspiracy Con 10, June 5th and 6th in Santa Clara, California.
That's today.
Learn
that's
what
today.
You don't know or die ignorant. The choice is yours.
Check it out on the web at conspiracycon.com and join us at the Santa Clara Marriott, June 5th and 6th. Conspiracy Con.
Now, that's actually right now. I mean, it is going on right now. Now, I don't want you to... I don't want you to go there until after the Saturday special because, I mean, you can be on your way there, you know, whilst listening to the Saturday special. But don't go there and tune out the Saturday special. We don't want you to ever, ever tune out the Saturday special because that's not right. That would be shooting ourselves in the foot. All right. Conspiracy Con 2010. It's number Conspiracy Con 10, 2010. I guess the first one was in 2001. And it's going on at the Santa Clara Marriott, June 5th and 6th today. Now, here's the deal, gang. It's such a beautiful day. And what I'm going to do after I finish the Saturday special today at 12 noon is I'm going to go over to Santa Clara and attend Conspiracy Con. Now, I've never been to one of these things before. I don't know how many of you in the audience have, but apparently they're pretty interesting. And I have a little thing off their website that says, you know, greetings to all truth seekers and freedom fighters. Confirmed speakers for Conspiracy Con are Dr. Leonard Horowitz, Dr. Bill Deagle, Jim Tucker, H. Michael Sweeney, Tex Mars, Michael Tessarian, Mr. Lobo, DeLove Phillips, Dr. Stan Monteith? Our Dr. Stan Monteith? Richard Gage, AIA, Anthony Hilder, Ruben Uriarte. Holy Christmas. You know, I'm just starting to get into this stuff. I'm sort of a late bloomer, ladies and gentlemen. But, you know, with all the weird things that have been happening to our country, guys like Alex Jones, you know, who are kings of conspiracy theories, nobody knows more about that kind of stuff than he does. And our doctor, except for Dr. Stan, of course, you know, who probably taught Alex Jones everything that he knows. People like me are becoming much more receptive to at least hearing about that. Now, I'm not like Charlie Friedman. I mean, you mention conspiracies to Charlie Friedman, and he shuts you down. I mean, he censors you. He just has no patience for any of this stuff. He dismisses you as a tinfoil hat-wearing nutcase. And I've always been an open-minded person. And when I first heard people say things like 9/11 was an inside job, I thought they were nut cases, but I never, ever wanted to censor anybody. I think censorship is a terrible, terrible thing. And that's why our topic here on the first hour of the Saturday special is going to be particularly interesting. I see Tracy is back, so she might be in a better place where we'll be able to hear her. But I just want to put this out and have you think about it. Nikki, I need your help. I need your help, Nikki. Where are you? Okay. I have two tickets. Now, I'm going to use one of them for myself. And I have no one else to go with as a representative for KSCO to go to conspiracy. Is there anybody out there who would like to go with poor old MZ? I think there, if there is somebody, what should we have that person do? Now, Nikki, you had an idea. You said you wanted people to audition. I mean, suppose no one's interested. Then I'll just feel awful. I'll feel like no one's listening to our station.
Well, if they're interested, they'll call. And then you can interview them, just short interview over the phone.
Should we do that or just have them send me an email, mz@ksco.com, that I will review the break? Because we do have, here, before we do anything else.
I think you should talk,
let's go back to Tracy, okay? And see if Tracy's in a better place. Are you Tracy?
Yes, I am. Hi, Michael. How do I sound?
That's not, tell me you didn't jump off the train early. And you're going to catch the next train. Is that what you did for us?
I have to confess that I jumped off the train just for you and the listeners of KSCO.
We are honored indeed. So that's very, very nice. That's very nice. Thank you. So listen, hate speech. Obviously, you have a sense of humor because you're being real cool with us. But what is hate speech as far as your organization is concerned,
well,
Media Alliance? How do you define it? Do you want me to play that promo for you again that we did with, and I know I recognize Rush Limbaugh in there, and I don't know who the other one was, probably Glenn Beck. Do you think Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh, why don't you play it,
and I'll respond to the promo, and I'll also tell you my feelings about what hate speech is and what it is.
Thank you. Okay, so let's see. Here is the Saturday special promo here.
Recently, a coalition of more than 30 organizations argued in a letter to the FCC that the World Wide Web is an ideal place to hide hate speech and that the FCC should monitor hate speech on both talk radio and cable networks.
I wonder who's paying for the Kennedy funeral. Is it Cutty Sark? I played a game, and I said, I'm going to take a drink for every black person I see on the parade route, and I was sober at the end of the parade.
Join us this Saturday on the Saturday special from 10 a.m. to 12 noon with your host, MZ, and Media Alliance, one of the signees to this letter. Is there a relationship between hate speech and hate crimes?
This president, I think, has exposed himself as a guy over and over and over again who has a deep-seated hatred for white people.
We'll talk about it this Saturday on the Saturday special with MZ from 10 a.m. to noon on your opinions. What opinions? Radio station, AM 1080, KSCO.
Okay, Tracy, what do you think?
I think that basically the petition and your show is asking exactly the same question. What is hate speech? What I want to say to start off with is that the petition that was filed, and I want to be clear, I didn't write it or cause it to happen. The petition was initiated by the National Hispanic Media Coalition in Los Angeles. And as you mentioned, my group is one of 29 groups that signed on and supported it. What the petition says is we want the regulatory agency that provides broadcast licenses to all the radio stations and television stations in the country, including KSCO, to look at the question of what is hate speech, use some definitions, and identify the scale of the problem if we have one. In other words, what we're asking them to do.
So you're not even sure. You haven't taken the position necessarily that there is a problem, but you're thinking that there might be a problem.
I'm taking the position that a lot of people think that there is a problem and that it's the responsibility of the entities that license broadcasters to take those concerns seriously and look at the issue. The last time the FCC did a study on telecommunications and what you want to call hate crime was 14 years ago. The whole new world.
Was that 1995 around the time of Oklahoma City bombing? Is that about right?
Approximately, yeah.
Yeah, that's when we had had the station for about 4.5-5 years at that time. I don't remember the specific study that you're talking about, but I do remember being viciously attacked by people, particularly in Santa Cruz, in our own city of license, you know, calling me and a talk host we have on our station pariah, that should be, you know, treated as pariahs. In fact, it's the current supervisor, the current head of the board of supervisors here in our town, wrote a letter to the editor and the local, you know, actually referring to me and Dave Allen as pariah in the community, simply because this station had an interview with people who were members of the Citizens Militia Group.
Oh, did you do that?
We did that. And was that a terrible thing to do?
I don't think
because they apparently it was thought of as we were fanning the flames of hatred.
Well, it was a very emotional time. People lost their lives, and at any point, as we know, after the World Trade Center came down, feelings are very raw.
Yeah.
After there's been an attack and there's been a murder and people have died in that Oklahoma City incident, it was a terrible tragedy.
Yeah.
What I would say is that there is a difference between angry speech, rude speech, speech that I politically disagree with, all of which can make me really angry and really upset, just like everybody. I mean, sometimes you hear things and you're like, I can't believe they said that.
Yeah.
And what we're calling hate speech. And what I want to say is hate speech doesn't mean I listen to it and I hate it. And it doesn't mean somebody gets on the radio and says, I hate this and I hate that.
Right.
What we're talking about, and the word that I like to use, but as I say, I didn't write the petition, is irresponsible speech, harmful speech, and crime-inducing speech.
We have some wonderful programs that I have recorded on cassette. I need to digitize that and put it up on our website. Some classic programs where the topic was broadcaster responsibility. Just a fascinating topic. And we had Dave Allen and Eric Scheck, who was Eric was a very professional, pretty liberal talk show host who thought that we were not responsible for interviewing people from the militia and having inflammatory, you know, any not controlled, you know, talk from callers and from our hosts on the radio station.
Well, here's what I would say. I think you're responsible for informing your listeners to help them to understand what happened and why it happened. I mean, that's why we do public affairs coverage.
Yeah.
I do think that if you have someone on who is saying very inflammatory things, that it's always the responsibility of any radio host to ask them tough questions, to put in a little bit of devil's advocate into the conversation. And if people are saying things that are inaccurate, as far as you can see, to call them on it. Because the microphone, the radio, the broadcast outlets, these are positions of power you're talking to. You have this big megaphone. You don't have to stand there on the street with a bullhorn screaming. You can reach thousands or hundreds of thousands of people at a time. And with that comes a certain amount of responsibility, not necessarily to say things that I politically am in favor of, but to say things that are responsible, that are fair, and that are accurate. I mean, I really think accurate is kind of the bottom line.
Right. Okay. Well. Okay. So, do we have Nikki? Do we have a new Caves commentary? Don't we? Nikki must be relieving nature's internal pressure because I don't see her around.
Oh,
so,
no.
Yeah. Oh, there you are. Okay. What? She's shaking her head.
Don't be inappropriate.
I love it. Many years ago, I would have been thrown out of the radio station for a comment like that on the air, but since I own the place, no one can do that.
Well,
that's why I bought the place. I got thrown out of here no fewer than four times before I realized that I have to own the place to prevent myself from being thrown out. Now, I suppose, you know, if people think that we're abusing the public airwaves, I suppose they could oppose us when it comes to license renewal time.
They
and I guess I could
that?
Be I guess I could be thrown out then, I suppose.
There is a thing called a petition to recognized a license, and any citizen in any broadcast area in any part of the country can always file one.
Yeah.
Realistically, how many years it might take before the FCC pays attention to it, I can't tell you that. Uh-huh. But anybody can file a petition to deny. Basic right.
Right. But even if that happens and we lose, you know, KSCO, and KSCO is that we lose the KSCO license, no one can throw me out of the building.
Yes, sir.
Unless there's some law that passes between now and then, because this is an historical structure now, and that there's some little provision in that law that enables me to be thrown out of my own building. And nothing would surprise me. But anyhow, go ahead. I didn't mean. So do we have a case commentary? Let's play it now. It's a short one. And let me just tell you, Tracy.
Yes.
I have a mother who's 89 years old, and she's very opinionated, and most of her opinions are pretty conservative in this pretty liberal town.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And some people have written letters to the editor saying that Kay engages in hate speech on KSCO. Mm-hmm. And they've drawn cartoons of her with swastikas on her sleeve and things like that. And it's really made, you know, other people really angry. You know, my mother has opinions, and she's the greatest, and everybody who listens to KSCO regularly just loves her. And I haven't even heard this latest commentary, but Nikki's going to play it right now, and I don't know whether you would, but go ahead, play it, Nikki, please.
Let me listen to it.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to put you on hold here. I'm going to put you on hold here. Okay, here. Okay. Now play it.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
This got by me while on vacation recently, but it's a true logical gem. Kudos to Ray Williams for sharing this. It bears repeating. Maybe Obama will put to sleep his agenda to change our free country into socialism, but it's unlikely. As the late Adrian Rogers said, quote, "You can't multiply wealth by dividing it," unquote. An economic professor at a local college made a statement that he had never failed a single student, but recently he failed an entire class. That class had insisted that Obama's socialism worked and that no one would be poor and no one would be rich. And that's a great equalizer. The professor then said, "Okay, why don't we have an experiment in this class on Obama's plan? All grades will be averaged and everyone would receive the same grade. So no one would fail and no one would receive an A. After the first test, the grades were averaged and everyone got a B. The students who studied hard were upset, and the students who studied little were happy. As the second test rolled around, the students who studied little had studied even less, and the ones who studied hard decided they wanted a free ride too, so they studied little. The second test average was D, like in dumb. No one was happy. When the third test rolled around, the average was an F, like in fail. As the tests proceeded, the scores never increased, as bickering, blame, and name-calling all resulted in hard feelings, and no one would study for the benefit of anyone else. All failed, to their great surprise, and the professor told them that socialism would also ultimately fail because when the reward is great, the effort to succeed is great. But when government takes all the reward away, no one will try or want to succeed. It could not be any simpler than that. Remember, there is a test coming up within the next 5 months. The midterm election in 2010. Don't forget to vote. For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
Okay, I think I know what you're going to say, Tracy, about that, but go ahead and say it.
I'm not sure that you do know what I'm going to say, but let me say two things. Number one, that's not hate speech. That's a political opinion.
That's what I thought you would say.
Okay, so the second thing I'm going to say is there's basically two conversations to have, and one is we could have about whether I think that's an accurate assessment of socialism as a political economic system. And no, I don't, but I don't think that's the conversation that we're having today. I mean, otherwise our promo will be false. That's not good, advertising.
Right.
But that's not remotely hate speech.
Okay, what is an example? In your opinion, of something that my mother or anybody else, you know, on the station could say that you would consider hate speech? You. Okay, I know you can only speak for you.
No, that's fair enough. Well, there's a couple of examples, some of which I can attach to specific people and some of which I can't. I mean, if you take a classic example like Michael Savage, who recently in the city of San Francisco, where I'm from, and there were comments about undocumented folks as vermin.
Oh, yeah, undocumented people being vermin. Okay.
And I think, frankly, that you can talk about the fact that undocumented people have positive or negative impacts on the society, but they're human beings and they're not vermin. Calling people vermin is the kind of thing that leads to difficult consequences in society, because then some people are less human than other people. And it opens the road, in my opinion, to treating people unequally. And I don't believe in that.
Uh-huh.
There is not to like pick Savage as the whipping boy of the moment, but as you know, I just got off a train, so I don't have as many notes in front of me and references and a computer. Just to get out of the sort of immigration conversation, which, you know, comes up frequently in this area, there was also some comments that Savage made to the effect that autistic children were not, that autism is a real disease, that basically these were just lazy kids that were conning the medical system and conning their parents, and they were
right.
Stupid.
Yeah.
And basically the parents were falling for this and calling it a disease when they just had stupid, lazy kids. And my sense of it is, well, that's certainly rude. It's certainly insulting. It's certainly harmful to people. I mean, you're a sibling of an autistic child.
Yeah.
And you listen to that. It's like, wow. That can do some damage, I think. There's someone else.
Okay, you would consider that an example of hate speech, yes or no?
I think it's on the edge of harmful speech, yes.
Okay, on the edge.
Inaccurate.
Okay, but not so. If it's on the edge, should it be legislated to be not lawful to speak?
I don't know the answer. I think that it needs to be investigated. How frequently are these kinds of things said? I think you have to do some surveys.
I can't ever get
impact on people.
I have never in. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah, you think it should be investigated? I have never. This is my favorite subject, by the way, besides property rights.
Okay.
You know, is freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
I love doing programs on this topic.
Mm-hmm.
And in all these years, I don't do it very often, but every time I do, I get all excited about doing the Saturday special because we're going to be talking about property rights or hate speech, and you know, and what constitutes all this. I have never been able to get anybody to say anything when we're talking about hate speech, anything more than what you've said, and
well,
that is that it should be investigated. Once it's investigated and it's determined to be, yes, hateful, then what should happen?
Well, that's
should it
why
be censored, and then should the First Amendment about guaranteeing free speech be discarded? I have never been able to get anybody to say yes to that, and it doesn't look like I'm going to get you to say yes to that either.
Well, let me try to modulate a bit what I'm saying, because I understand what you're saying. You're trying to get me to commit to something, and it's frustrating because I'm not. I mean, part of the issue is what is the real impact on the people that listen to this? Who concretely is being harmed? How many? I mean, anecdotally, occasionally someone goes and shoots someone else, and they find in their room all this Savage and Limbaugh stuff, and they say, well, maybe there's a connection. Is there really? We don't know. It's possible. It seems to some degree like some of it might be probable, and there are some things said that seem to sort of be conducive to the committing of crimes to mentally, well, shall we say, mentally unstable people. I mean, I saw a quote a couple of days ago where someone said on the radio that people who don't speak English should and live in the United States should have their arms and legs chopped off. I mean, no, they should not have their arms and legs chopped off. Sane people.
So how about calling up and disagreeing with the person who said that instead of saying you're not allowed to say?
But what if someone actually gets their arms and legs chopped off as a result? One person. Don't we owe that person something? As a society.
I guess we do owe that person the thrusting aside of the First Amendment. I guess we do.
I mean, I think we have to.
We have there has to be a limit somewhere.
Right. So the point of the petition is, what is the limit? When are we over the edge? When does our social responsibility as a whole hit up against the First Amendment, and we're in a place where we have to balance these things? We're just asking the question.
Okay.
I mean, that's why I signed the petition.
Right.
I mean, that's why my organization did. We are a freedom of expression organization. That's what we do. We protect the right of people to say unpopular, politically off the wall, extreme, non-mainstream points of view. We want a diverse range of perspectives being heard.
That's what we're all about on KSCO.
Well, then we're not so far apart, whatever we may politically think personally.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's my opinion. But in a straightforward way, I think there are specific places where these two values are going to butt up against each other. And I'm just asking the responsible government agency, not because I love government and not because I'm a big fan of the FCC. For what it's worth, my organization is suing them several times. Right now, we're in litigation with the FCC. We have
you are. What are you suing the FCC about concerning?
We are suing them on the issue of media ownership and consolidation.
Oh, I'm with you on that one. I think I'm with you. The FCC had a. I think in 2005, if I'm not, maybe, I don't know when it was. It was a while back, maybe 2003. They had a public hearing in localism and media diversity, and during which two of the five FCC commissioners attended. Jonathan Adelstein and I forget the name of the other guy, but
Michael
Kopp? Yeah. And I got up and spoke, and I said, if you want diversity, make the ownership rules, turn it back to what it was when I got into this business, which was in 1991. At that time, the same owner was allowed to own no more than one AM and one FM station in the same market. Then a year or two, they went to two and two. And then in 1996, it just went crazy. I mean, they basically, there is a limit, but the limit is so damn high right now, it's essentially limitless. You know, so that totally destroyed media diversity in the United States. Totally. It made a lot of people rich because the big corporate, companies started paying ridiculous prices for radio stations like mine. And I didn't want to sell because I want to remain independent, forever, But as a result of diversity went down the toilet. And so I'm a very strong advocate of having the limits, severe limits on concentration of media owners. So I think you and I are probably on the same page there. Am I right?
I could hire you as a spokesperson for my organization.
I need money. I really do. So please do that.
Us too, by the way. So
yeah.
If any of you found that a stirring speech and you would like to donate some money to Media Live to support that particular issue.
Right.
And nothing else that we do, let me know.
Right.
It can be late.
All right. Well, listen, you're listening to the Saturday special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. We have our guest is Tracy Rosenberg from MediaAlliance.org, and we're going to have a relative of yours on next hour. You remember Jothi back from your younger days, right?
I remember
I'm just kidding around here. It's just very coincidentally that our the guest in our next hour is going to be a gentleman by the name of Jothi. Am I saying Jothi or Jothi Rosenberg?
And oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. So talk about a coincidence to be two Rosenbergs in the same radio program who are unrelated, probably. But maybe we might have
come over on the same boat 100 years ago. You right. know? Well, not us, but
so
our
if you want to give us, if you want to give us a call here and give us your take on limits of speech on talk radio and on the internet, and do you think there should be any kind of investigation or any kind of contemplation of controls? We want to hear from you. That's our topic today for the next for the rest of this hour at least, and probably spilling over to next hour because we didn't get to hear from this for the entire hour here if Tracy is willing to stay with us and able to. Margaret in Santa Cruz, welcome to the Saturday special. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks, MZ.
Sure.
I just wanted to say that hate speech is free speech. I mean, hate is a feeling of intense dislike for someone or a strong aversion to something. Now, when we talk about our love of a color, say like blue, dogs, we love dogs, or we love, you know, 15% body fat, does that mean, according to you, now because we've expressed love for something, that now we hate red, we hate cats, we hate obesity? I mean, you know, if you don't like something, you have every legal right to hate it. I mean, hate is free speech. It's a feeling. You are trying to control our feelings, to call out cheats, to call out perverts, to call out the problems in society, in our culture today. Just like, you know, the serial killer.
It had to come to this, Margaret. Let me add, there's the argument that you heard millions of times whenever this topic, and it's a logical thing, so I'm going to bring it up, of course. Yelling fire in a crowded theater, okay? Should that be allowed, or is that free speech that should be protected?
I'm sorry?
Yelling fire in a crowded theater when there is no fire. Should that be allowed, or is that protected by the First Amendment?
Well,
what are the limits? That's all Tracy is asking here, right, Tracy?
Right. Well, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, listen, so Michael Savage.
Caller sent it, didn't I know?
What about Michael Savage?
Michael Savage calling illegal immigration vermin. Well, the Tharsis calls vermin parasite, infestation, undesirable, and lowlife. I believe that word vermin is why every country on the planet has immigration border laws.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
I don't disagree with anything the caller is saying. I think it's
okay, you're just saying that there should be an investigation, I guess, basically.
I think
okay.
It's a mischaracterization right. of right. what the word hate speech is meant to refer to. I hate lots of things, and I hear them all the time, and they bug me, and if I don't like it, there's a complaint line on this radio station, probably all of them. And I
Well, no, not all of them. Not all of them. By the way, we do not have a complaint line. We do not have a complaint line, Tracy. We have a comment line, and when you call the comment line, it very clearly states that if you're calling to complain about anything or anyone, forget it. We're not interested in anything except compliments on that line, particularly about my mother and me.
If you want my opinion, you should take constructive feedback, and everybody should. But that said,
yeah,
there are plenty of opportunities to say, I don't like that, I don't agree with it, I'm never going to listen to your radio station again.
And everybody who says that, you know damn well is going to be listening more and more. Anyhow, Margaret, thank you very much.
We're talking about speech I hate.
I can't imagine that.
Everybody's talking over everybody else, but thank you, Margaret, for calling. Poor Joe and Carmel has been waiting much too long, but now you're on the air, Joe.
Yeah, hi. I'm very interested in this topic, too, especially with the Bill Press book, Toxic Talk.
Now, that is a hateful book that should be banned, in my opinion.
Yeah, it got a real pan in the Wall, the Wall Street Journal review. Really took it apart.
But that may be. I haven't read it. But, Michael, how can you say it should be banned?
I haven't read it. All I just read about it, and it offended me.
Well, it seems clearly a clear stalking horse for them putting the fairness doctrine back in, or the
the fairness doctrine,
or something like localism back in to censor, make sure that political correctness gets put back on the airwaves.
Yeah, well,
which is censorship.
We have operated KSCO in the 19 and a half years that our family has had it, as if the fairness doctrine was in full force.
Now, I've heard you say
I think the fairness doctrine is a terrible, terrible thing, and I think it's one of the greatest things that happened under the Reagan administration when it was dropped. You probably disagree with that, right, Tracy?
I would actually say that I do. My sense of the fairness doctrine...
Oh, my God, your cell phone is getting so bad now. It's almost as bad as when you were on the train.
What I'm going to say is that the fairness doctrine was unfairly enforced, as far as I could see, inconsistently at best, and it was a poorly functioning law.
Am I still on?
Yeah, you're on, Joe.
Oh, okay. Well, you've said on the air that you've had trouble, a lot of trouble, getting people to come on to oppose views for guests you've got.
That is correct, and we can prove in our public file and everywhere else that we've done that, and they, at least in the past, people who detest Rush Limbaugh have many times just refused invitations from our station just because we're that horrible Rush Limbaugh station.
Right.
No one's forcing them to listen to Rush Limbaugh or listen to my mother or anybody else.
Right. And to me, the definition of hate speech is somebody who really gets red in the face while they're talking. And that's why they don't want to come on, because they can't control their own anger.
Uh-huh.
Well, all I can tell you is I'm here.
No, you're great, Tracy. Thank you. I appreciate that you came on. Joe calling. Okay,
sure.
Let's go to Mike in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, Matt. This is Matt, Mike. I turned the radio down.
Okay, you're on here.
All right, great. Hate speech, hate speech. That's a good one. Black News was talking about Michael Savage and Rush Limbaugh and stuff like that, who use disinformation, distortion, half-truths, lies. And it just keeps spinning it over and over again until they get people to believe it. It's kind of a little subtle, sending some subtle, subliminal message. Like Michael Savage, he's trying to pump up the white male 20 to 30, 40-something into racism, hate Mexicans, hate blacks. And they're trying to take over your rights. They're trying to, the whites are becoming minorities. Like that. When it's used, hate, I think it's hate speech when it changes public opinion, either subtly, you can't just come out and say, I hate black people.
That sounds like a pretty good definition after nearly an hour on this program of hate speech. Would you go along with that, Tracy? What Mike has just said as a definition?
What I would say is that trying to create a whole bunch of negative social impacts, because we all agree, I think, that racism and anger don't make society better, is one thing. Doing it with lies, inaccuracies, and things that play out that, flat out aren't true on a publicly licensed station is a problem. We're supposed to be informing people and discussing it.
Okay, so that's the definition. Mike, real quick here, we got Dave in Pacific Grove and Tommy in Seaside. We want to get before the hour is up, which is only 2.5 minutes or less.
Oh, my God. Okay, let's go.
Okay, so that being said, if we can agree that that's hate, because it affects people with lies and all that kind of stuff, should that be not permitted? And hence the First Amendment guaranteeing free speech be discarded? Is the answer to that yes or no, Mike?
I think that it should be, this should have some balance. Like your show, your radio station, it used to have Air America, so I said you stopped that on KOMY.
Yeah, we couldn't sell one ad in 18 months.
Yeah, that's weird. That was weird. I thought that was really crazy. But there's no.
You know why? Because I should have figured it out after 2.5 weeks. But it took me 18 months to figure out, and I wouldn't have figured it out now. I'd still have America on right now. if I hadn't tuned into KSCO one day and heard a local talk show host take a call from someone who claimed to be a liberal businessman in Santa Cruz. And I just love the fact that Zwirling has brought, you know, liberal talk radio to Santa. But I happen to know Zwirling's personal politics, and I happen to know that Rush Limbaugh is on the big station, and there is no way I will ever put dime one into Zwirling's pocket, because somehow it's going to get into Rush Limbaugh's pocket. I knew what we were up against right then. That's when I pulled the plug. Was I a terrible person by doing that?
No, I gave it a gallant
try. Did I bend over backwards?
No, you gave it a gallant try.
Thank you. Stand by. Tracy, I hope you can stay until next hour. It's KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 11 a.m. Here is Fox News Radio.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Riegel. A cap placed over the crippled oil well appears to be catching about a third of the oil spewing from it, but the oil's already out there. It's washing ashore, coating birds, other animals, and the Gulf Coast's white sand beaches. The call is out for help.
Unemployed individuals that would like to seek training and get involved in this response, and the goal is to train over 4,000 people across these three states, about 1,500 in Alabama, about 1,500 in Mississippi, and about 1,500 in Florida.
Coast Guard Admiral Thad Allen. President Obama's radio address was recorded yesterday while the president was in Grand Isle, Louisiana. The president spoke with people who make their living from the sea.
I'm going to stand with the people of the Gulf Coast until they are made whole.
The president also promised BP would be paying up for the damage caused not just to the environment, but to people's livelihoods. In their weekly response, by the way, the Republicans called for a Justice Department investigation into allegations of the White House offering jobs to candidates in two races to clear the way for White House-backed candidates. The president made it official today, nominating retired General James Clapper as the nation's next director of intelligence.
Our intelligence committee needs to work as one integrated team that produces quality, timely, and accurate intelligence. And let's be honest, this is a tough task, but this will be Jim's core mission.
The president spoke at the White House. Clapper must be confirmed by the Senate. He would replace Dennis Blair, who resigned last month. Investigators are working on a muddy field outside Peoria, Illinois. They're said to be searching for any sign of Stacy Peterson. Peterson is the fourth wife of ex-cop Drew Peterson. Stacy disappeared in October of 2007. Drew Peterson has long been a person of interest. He is already facing first-degree murder charges and the death of his third wife. You're listening for Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Here's another encore presentation from Fox News Channel.
Ladies and gentlemen, the cake boss, Buddy Valastro.
My pleasure.
You know, people are loving your show, but one thing that impressed me most is a family operation, but your father had a huge influence on you.
Oh, tremendous influence. I mean, I am the man I am today because of my father and everything that he taught me, and, you know, he put me on the right path.
He didn't just teach you about baking and running a bakery, though. He taught you about character and life, and that comes through. What's the greatest lesson your dad taught you?
Always be true to who you are, and, you know, I remember being a little kid, and we would see somebody homeless on the street, and no matter what, he would always stop and give somebody homeless money. I said to him, you know, Dad, why do you do that? He says, you know, that could be me one day asking for it. And he says, you know, $5 isn't going to make me or break me. If I can help somebody, I always do.
Be listening for more encore presentations from Fox News Talk.
Another ship tried to break Israel's naval blockade of Gaza. It was not successful. Israel ordered that ship diverted to port.
They were taken to a different location where they'll be identified, processed, and the Israeli government hopes to get them on planes today, but they're telling me they don't think it'll happen that quickly.
Fox's Rena Ninen reporting. Days ago, 9 people died when Israeli commandos stormed a Turkish-flagged ship. Another top cleric killed in Iraq.
Security officials in the northern Iraqi city of Mosul say an ally of the country's former prime minister was gunned down. The killing of Fars Jassim al-Jabouri follows last month's killing of a recently elected Sunni lawmaker, also in Mosul. Al-Jabouri, who failed to secure a parliament seat in the March election, was part of the political bloc led by Iraq's former prime minister, Ayad Alawi. Alawi's Iraqiya party won the most votes in the election, but fell short of the minimum needed to form a government. In Baghdad, Carmen Gentile, Fox News Radio.
The third leg of the Triple Crown will be run today.
If you wanted to bet on the trainer, you'd have to like Nick Zito's chances. The New York native is going for his third win at the Belmont Stakes in just 6 years, and he's got two of the three favorites today, including Derby runner-up Icebox.
He's had some good weeks after the Kentucky Derby, and I really like what I see.
And Fly Down, who won last month's Dwyer by six lengths.
Not as high strung. He's just a more laid-back horse, very, very relaxed type of horse.
There's no Triple Crown drama this year, but Make Music For Me has a chance to make history. Alexis Barba would be the first female trainer to win a Triple Crown race. In New York, Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
In baseball, batting practice is often referred to as BP. Not in Brevard County, Florida anymore. The minor league manatees don't want to utter the term BP anymore because of the disastrous oil spill going on. Therefore, batting practice will be henceforth known as hitting rehearsal. Karen Regal, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSTO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast here for the Central Coast. Today we got sunny skies, high of 79, northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight mostly clear, low of 57, northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunday mostly sunny, high of 76, west-northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Out on the Monterey Bay, the west winds 5 knots, increasing 10 to 20 knots in the afternoon. Wind waves less than 2 feet, becoming 3 feet later, with a west swell of 3 to 5 feet at 11 seconds. And tonight, west winds 10 to 20 knots, becoming northwest 5 to 15 knots after midnight. Wind waves 3 to 4 feet, with a west swell of 3 to 5 feet at 11 seconds. And on Sunday, we got the west winds 5 to 15 knots, wind waves 1 to 3 feet, with a west swell of 3 to 5 feet at 10 seconds. And for your KSCO King of the Hill traffic update, we got a traffic collision. No injuries, though. 17-mile drive at Cypress Road, Monterey area. CHP is on the scene. It was two vehicles on that one. And we just had another one here. Traffic collision with an ambulance responding Ridgeway at Larkin Valley Road in Santa Cruz. And the bad news is it was a vehicle versus a child. CHP is on the scene. So, yeah. That's what I've got for you so far. Hopefully everything's okay there. And 475-1080, if you see something that you need to let me know so I can let everyone else know. And for current temperatures, Monterey's at 70 degrees. Salinas is at 75. And in Watsonville, it's 74. We're at 72 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSTO Studios. Official time, 11:06 and 8 seconds on this Saturday, June 5th, 2010. Up next, second hour, Saturday special. Stay tuned. KSTO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
It's my politics. Anyhow, hey, thank you, Nikki. We'll continue our discussion of hate speech here for a little bit longer. And then we have a really interesting guest here to present. But let's officially start hour number two of the Saturday special. And you know what that means. It means our classic telephone jingle.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have
welcome back to your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. We were talking about hate speech with Trey Rosenberg from the Media Alliance Group. Trace, are you there? Tr- Tracy?
Yes, hi, Michael.
Okay, good. Now let's go back to our phone lines. Dave at Grove. Dave, welcome to the Saturday special with Tracy and MZ. You're on the air.
Hi, Dave. This is a mini song. It only takes 1 minute.
No, you're Dave.
Yes.
You said hi, Dave. Oh, oh. You said I'm Dave. Forgive me. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, here's a little song about the fairness doctrine. In the name of what's fair, now liberals get air. I'm busted. Alternative views, I'm making the news. I'm busted. Our monopoly's gone, and it won't be long till everyone knows that the right is wrong. And brother, that's why I'm singing this song. I'm busted. Well, I had a nice gig. Now they say I'm too big. I'm busted. Now people will know that I'm just a joke, can't be trusted. Well, I pounded those lips with my lies and my fibs. I foamed at the mouth till I had to wear bibs. And it's getting harder to brainwash your kids. I've got the LennonMurderTruth.com blues.
Dave. Are you a member of ASCAP or BMI?
Am I a member of what?
ASCAP, the music license. Never mind. Thanks for sharing.
You're welcome. Appreciate it.
That was Dave in Pacific Grove. Here's Tommy in Seaside. Tommy, you're on the air on KSCO.
Thank you very much, Michael. And it's really nice that you've got this young lady on the radio today.
Yeah, no, she's great. Thanks.
Yes, she is.
Young lady.
And I'm going to try and be as respectful as I can.
Okay.
And if I'm not, then cut me off, please.
Okay.
This is all about word mechanics. And it all starts back in the early 1900s when our schools were infiltrated with, I'm going to call them do-gooders. Is that a bad word?
It doesn't matter whether it's bad or good. Yeah, you're right. What do you think?
I feel good because I did something for somebody else. You know, the world wasn't constructed that way. And as far as hate speech and what is right speech, let's go back to West Side Story. And what was that all about?
Two gangs going at it.
If you want to find real hate speech, I hate your mother because she's a goddamn Mick. Right?
Uh-huh.
That was hate speech.
Uh-huh.
And that created ball bats, knives, and guns, and all kinds of things going bad from uh-huh. West Side to East Side,
uh-huh.
South Side to North Side.
Yeah.
It was all created by unions. For Christ's sakes, you know the movie, don't you? You've seen it many times.
What movie is that, Tom?
West Side Story.
Oh, yeah, I have. Okay.
Marlon Brando.
Right?
You know?
Okay, so the point is,
it's all word mechanics.
Yeah,
and unfortunately, those of us who grew up in the agrarian society, which I did, and I worked in the Bracero program, so I don't want anybody to say to me that I talk to Mexicans down. I do not. I've lived in Mexico. I've lived with those fine people. The people that come here are not fine people. And if Michael, what's his name?
Savage.
Wants to call them vermin, he's absolutely correct because hidden in between every 10 of those good people who just want to drop a baby here and live here is a drug dealer. He's hidden amongst them. You know, we during that war in Afghanistan, we said, well, these people hide among the civilians because, you know, they have refuge there. We won't kill the civilians because, you know, just to get to a savage, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm happy you brought Savage up because there's one thing that I meant to say last hour to Tracy. Tracy, you said yourself that Savage talked himself, or the implication was Savage talked himself off the air, you know, in his own area, right? San Francisco Bay Area, right? So didn't that sort of take care of itself? Does that need to be, you know, legislated?
He's in a sanctuary city. Michael,
yeah,
he's in a sanctuary city.
Yeah.
When I can. You know, one is on the subject of vermin, which came up, which is an example that I use.
Yeah.
I mean, ancestors came over on a boat 100 years ago, and they were called vermin. I'm a Jew.
Sixth generation Portuguese, ma'am.
Yeah, and Ginny and Mick and the whole nine yards, and I know all of that. And someone calling me vermin doesn't thrill me. The problem is when someone puts me in a concentration camp because other people called me vermin.
Okay.
And that happened to
okay.
my relatives who didn't get on the boat.
Understand
I think we
what
have to
saying.
Look at issue one and issue two. And the question is, does number one lead to number two? Maybe
okay.
it does.
All right.
That's the concern. You can't put people in concentration camps.
Listen.
Because they're vermin.
Right.
You can't do that. In terms of Savage and sort of the public market, what happened is Michael Savage's listenership and, you know, basically what happened is advertisers started pulling the plug in response to consumer complaints.
Yeah.
That's how it works in the free market, and that's how it works.
Samuel right. So what doesn't the free market, doesn't the free market take care of it? So what I'm saying is, isn't it sort of wasting a lot of time just to even investigate this stuff? Because the free market's going to take care of it anyhow, don't you think?
Let's hope so. It should, but the free market isn't perfect.
Well, it very definitely will.
Well, that's what I think, too. Listen, we want to get on to another subject, gang. We really want to get on to another subject. I want to thank Tracy. We'll take one more call on this topic. Thank you, Tommy and Seaside. Here's Steve in Santa Cruz. Then we're going to move on to our guest right after. So, Steve in Santa Cruz, you're on the air on AM 1080 KSCO.
Hi, Michael. This is Steve.
Hey, Steve.
And I just want to tell you that I'm as liberal as can be, and I love your show. It's quaint, it's polite, it brings back music of the 50s and the tone of the 50s, and you represent a point of view that's not heard much, and that's why I listen to you. I get my news.
Well, we've always wanted to be a voice for everyone, and we always have, but although it doesn't really seem like that, because most of the callers to our station seem to be, and I was telling our guest I hate labels, but most of the people who call our station are pretty conservative. You know, but I see that changing, and I'm happy that you called, and you don't mind calling yourself a liberal, you know?
No, I'm proud to be a liberal, and I disagree with you on most issues, but you handle discussions in a polite way, and I love your mother. She uses me no
way. Wow. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Steve. Appreciate your call. Tracy, we got to do this again, but when there's more time, and you're in on a landline somewhere, okay, where you're a lot easier to understand.
Okay. Well,
is that
sorry
cool?
For the sound problem.
Well, things happen, as we said.
And I'd love to come back anytime you want to have me.
That'd be fantastic. Well, we know how to get in touch with you, and we will shortly.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Take care. Okay. That's about it. Nikki, did we miss a commercial break last hour? No, we're okay. Well, I'm happy that we didn't miss a commercial break, but I'm sad to hear that that's all the commercials we had in political time. Oh, there is one. Oh, okay. All righty. Who says I can't? I'm looking at a really cool book here that shows a cyclist, probably a marathon cyclist. His name is Jothi Rosenberg, a two-time cancer-surviving amputee and entrepreneur who fought back, survived, and thrived. And Jothi is in our studio, and he got here in the strangest of ways. Dr. Corey Gold and I, who is our hit talk host, a local host, who's on from 12 noon to 2 p.m. right after Rush Limbaugh, Corey and I were at Costco yesterday picking up some supplies for our Ben Fuchs speakers event last evening, and we went past a Vitamix display. And while we were waiting for our Vitamix samples, there was a woman. There were several people, but there was a nice-looking woman standing right next to me. And I just turned to her and said, "What's your favorite radio station?" And she looked without hesitation. She said, "AM 1080 KSCO." And I said, "Good, you gave me the correct answer." And I told her who I was, and she said, "Oh, cool. I've got a great topic for you. I've got a great book and a really inspiring person." And I said, "Okay, send him down tomorrow at 11 o'clock. She did. And here he is. Hey, Jothi, welcome to KSCO.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
God, what a horrible thing happened to you when you were just a kid. You got bone cancer, sort of like Teddy Kennedy Jr., huh?
He and I had the exact same cancer.
Uh-huh.
He was a month after me. So I guess we were both 16. This is a fairly rare cancer. Unfortunately, it targets teenagers. There's about 900 cases a year in the U.S. It hits boys more often than girls. They think that might be because of rapid bone growth. And to this day, it's when they find out about it, it's an emergency because it also has a nasty habit of getting into the bloodstream.
Really fast.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so back then, this was 1973, chemotherapy didn't yet exist. And so when they discovered...
For this kind of cancer?
For any.
I could have sworn I heard about chemotherapy even when I was... Before I was 10 years old, I'm just dreaming.
There was radiation. I'm not going to pretend to be the expert, but I will tell you for this type of cancer, there was nothing.
Sure.
And
so it's just radical and that's it.
And so what they had to do.
No matter how many opinions you had, it was the same thing. It's got to come off.
It's got to come off. And it came off. I mean, when they discovered it one evening after I'd fallen in gym class jumping rope and couldn't get up, and they did a biopsy and said, oh, this has got to come off tomorrow morning. You don't get much time to think about it.
Ah.
And then there's a very difficult period of recovery. And of course, back then, unlike now, they didn't fit you with a prosthesis for 6 months. So I had to go back to school on crutches and I would walk down the hall and it would be like the parting of the Red Sea. People would just scatter, you know, but, the really bad part, and then we're going to talk about some positive stuff, but bad part was that 3 years later, I was now in college, and every 6 months I went in for a checkup, and they, and of course, when you're 16, 17, 18, of course, right, remember, we all thought we were immortal, and parents worried, and it was silly, but that's what parents do, and they told me, you know, you got to go in for these 6 month checkups and all that, and, I figured it was just, you know, nothing but worry. And suddenly I get one of these and they say, oh my God, it's spread to your lung. And we have to take out, we have to take out that lung tomorrow. And so, this whole left side lung, it was taken out. And so now, I'm faced with, I have a physical disability, the loss of the leg. I have an invisible disability, which affects something pretty core to your every minute being, which is breathing. And at the same time, they said, well, sorry to tell you this, but in the past, whenever this cancer has spread like this to the lung, no one has made it. So at 19, I heard you have zero chance of survival. The reason I'm here is because chemotherapy was brand new, just came out. Uh-huh. They put me on an intensive course of that.
And you were 17?
I was 19 at this point.
Okay.
And at the end of the chemo, this is when the fighting back began. And that's why 5 years later, I decided to finally sit down and write this book, was what I learned in the process of dealing with all this and coming back. And along the way, I ended up getting a PhD in computer science. I've started six high-tech startups, including one here when I moved here in 1988.
Wow.
And then back in Boston, several more. And for me, there is this phenomenon around sports, which is so positive and so within reach of people who've been knocked down by all kinds of things. This book isn't actually specific to someone who's got a disability or had cancer. There was a woman who read this and wrote me and said, I got your book because I'm dating an amputee and I wanted to understand it. And she said, but after I started reading the book, I realized this book is actually speaking directly to me. And I said, why? What do you mean? And she said, well, I am the recently divorced single mother of triplets, and that feels like a disability to me.
Wow. Wow, interesting perspective.
Yeah, so I use sports as a way to come back. And the first example of that was that as soon as the chemo was over, it was 1976, it was late 76, I drove from – we lived in Detroit at the time. I drove straight to Utah, went right to the base lodge at Alta, Utah, where I was focused. I wanted to ski there.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to be a ski bum. And I spent the entire season. I skied 100 days straight without a single break because I was determined that, okay, maybe I will die soon. But before I do, I am going to get so good at skiing that no one is ever going to say, wow, he's a pretty good skier, considering he's on one leg. I didn't want that considered.
You just want to be, yeah, exactly. You're a good skier, period, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know, are you a skier?
I love skiing, and I know how, but not very well, because I don't do it very much.
Well, then you do know that.
I love it.
Okay. Well, you do know that when you're skiing with two skis,
yeah,
and when you make that left turn,
yeah,
most of your steering comes from the inside edge of your right ski.
Even I know that.
Okay.
Yes.
And on the right turn, it's the inside edge of the left ski.
Right.
So for me, because I have a left leg, the right turn feels okay, feels natural.
Uh-huh.
But now, on the left turn, I'm on the outside edge of the left ski, and that's all I've got. And so having turns be symmetrical, that's what took 100 days straight of skiing to get right.
Yeah. Now you see all kinds of movies and TV shows, amputee skiing, you know, and they have the
outriggers,
the poles. Yes, that's what they're called. They're little pole, ski poles that have skis on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you must have started with that, but I you probably don't use those now. Right?
I do. No, they're actually really good even for an expert skier. And the reason is that
this is the 5-inch.
Sorry, go ahead.
the reason is that. Of course, when you've got two legs, even standing at a party, you'll shift your weight and rest one and shift your weight. You almost do it unconsciously, and skiing, of course, you especially do that. So one reason the outriggers are great is that you can't actually stop at the side of slope and take your weight off your leg if you've got regular poles. But with outriggers, which look like forearm crutches,
right.
You can actually get your weight off your leg. So first, it's a way to rest. Second, even a very experienced skier on one ski is going to go through the bumps and get jostled around a little bit. If you plant a pole, a regular pole, a pointy pole, it's gonna stick in the ground, stick in the snow, and be gone. You can't sort of right yourself with that. Whereas with two skis, you're gonna shift your weight, you're going to move a ski, you're going to balance yourself. So even the experienced amputee uses those to just put it down for, you know, a tenth of a second,
sure,
or less.
Yeah.
Just.
And obviously you need a kit to get going.
You use them to get going.
Yeah.
But when I first started, I didn't know about them, so I first started without them. And then I discovered them a few years later.
I would imagine, Jothi, that once you master something so insurmountable that being an entrepreneur is a piece of cake.
Well,
you know, as hard as that is.
There's a chapter in the book called Swimming Through Sharks.
Uh-huh.
And I use an analogy because one of the things that I started doing when I was out here, somebody said to me, and the reason the book is titled that, somebody said, I bet you can't swim Alcatraz, from Alcatraz to San Francisco.
Which is what you are here to do tomorrow.
Tomorrow I will be doing that for the 17th time.
Can you believe this, Nikki? I mean, he's I believe him. He's looking at me with a straight face. He's not winking or anything. He's going to do it. God.
I sort of grew into open water swimming here, right down here at the wharf at Cowell Beach. The reason I'm over here this morning is I did my sort of final practice swim. I would call it a warm-up swim, except it's not exactly warm, out to the end of the wharf and back,
right,
just to get used to the wetsuit again and all that, because, you know, I'm from Boston, so I'm swimming in pools and places like that. But it's great to be able to work really hard at something and then get good enough at it that, you get people who say, well, I would never do that. And that feels really good because you started off, of course, feeling like, how do I even get back to normal? How do I figure this stuff out? Well, the swimming through sharks was first I started doing Alcatraz. I got hooked on it. I loved it. And then I started trying to build companies and I had to deal with venture capitalists. And you know what they're called in slang terms sometimes.
Tell me.
Oh, sometimes they're called vulture capitalists.
Oh, okay.
But I decided to draw the analogy of sharks. And, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, you have a whole variety of experiences with different venture capitalists and different board members. And there are good times and there are bad times, right? I mean,
right.
It's hard stuff. I mean, I twice was within 2 weeks of missing payroll at one of my companies. And talk about cold sweats. And so at the end of the chapter, my conclusion is that I feel like San Francisco Bay is a safer place to be than starting companies.
Okay, so the question I asked is, the answer is no, that's not correct. It's still pretty rough to be an entrepreneur. I don't see it that way, but that's just me. I think what you've accomplished is just absolutely amazing. Just absolutely amazing.
The picture on the front is from a wonderful bike ride. I started I hadn't been doing any biking, and I thought, oh, this is really going to be pretty hard on one leg, and then someone that worked for me said, I'm going to do the AIDS ride, riding from Boston to New York City. Will you contribute? And I said, well, A, I care deeply about helping fund research for solving AIDS, so yes, and B, that's incredible. That's 375 miles. How the heck can you do that on a bike?
Yeah.
And you know, there's a like the granddaddy of the AIDS rides is out here. It's either a 5 day or a 7 day. It's amazing. So I was saying to one of my other staff people, wow, this is so cool. She's going to do this ride. And he turned to me with a straight face and he said, you seem so excited about that. I'm really sorry that a guy with one leg could never do that.
Oh, that's all you needed to hear. Right?
I said, I cannot believe you said that to me. My fate is sealed.
Right.
And I've done the AIDS ride from Boston to New York 3 times. And let me tell you.
Right. Now you can't. One of these days we're going to have a webcam here so that it'll be like television. But we don't now. So I got to describe this. We were talking about Teddy Kennedy Jr. And I remember, you know, the day that I think, you know, the newscaster said another dramatic day in the Kennedy family. Someone got married and Teddy Kennedy Jr. had his leg amputated. And it showed him the next day, Teddy Kennedy Jr., riding a bicycle. His leg was partially amputated. Yours was entirely amputated. So he could ride a bike a lot easier than you can. Am I right?
Well, when you have a high amputation and you have no knee whatsoever, it doesn't help. And it's just dead weight.
That's got to be awful.
It's dead weight. So I clip in, and so that left foot is clipped in. And you know what they tell all bike riders to do is to remember, pull up as well as push down.
There's no way you can have a prosthesis that will enable you to ride a bicycle.
I won't say never, because when they come up with a powered knee, there's maybe a chance, but not now, and hasn't been for the 10 years that I've been doing these bike-a-thons. But you have to really pull up hard. And let me tell you, the other thing about biking with one leg is when you get to a hill, if you're a two-legger, that's what I call you guys, two-leggers, so no disrespect intended.
And none taken.
So you two-leggers, when you get to the bottom of a hill and you start having trouble with it, you get off your bike and you walk.
Boy, and I do it at the beginning of the hill.
Well,
just awful. I'm so out of shape.
I'm not going to hop up a hill, let me tell
you.
That's not going to help me. So I look at a hill and I say, you're allowed to say four-letter, you know, words on the air?
It depends on what they are. What is it?
Damn.
You can say that.
Okay. I look at the hill and say, I have got to get up this damn hill, and there's no failure is not an option. And so I just start pulling and pushing. And the first year I did that AIDS ride, there's some big hills in Connecticut. You might not realize that, but there are some pretty big hills in Connecticut. And I'm going up this hill, and suddenly there's all these people walking, and I'm passing them. And then I start passing some bikers, and I hear over my shoulder, well, if he can do it, I'm getting back on the bike. And another person said, I'm never going to whine again. And I had no idea what they were talking about. And finally, after a day of this, I realized that just doing what I was doing for me was getting these people to work harder, to try harder, to really get re-energized and re-motivated.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Which was unbelievably rewarding.
We're talking with Jothi Rosenberg, author of the book Who Says I Can't? He's a two-time cancer-surviving amputee and entrepreneur who fought back, survived, and thrived. It's your favorite radio station on a Saturday special with MZ. And we're going to be on the – you want to take some calls? We're getting some callers. We're going to open the phone lines if you've got time.
Sure.
Love to. Now, we've got to take a commercial break. So, Nikki, why don't we do that? And when you come back, we'll take Marshall's phone call, who's already calling. Anybody else who wants to make a comment or ask a question of Jothi, please give us a call at 479-1080 or send an email to mz@ksco.com. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
If you could create the perfect job, what would it be? Professional fly fisherman, cheese taster, maybe travel guide, mountain climber? Well, it just may be that the perfect job already exists, working right here at your local John Deere dealer. Think about it. You get to spend your whole day driving around on all our John Deere machines, like our Select Series lawn tractors, Easy Track mowers, compact utility tractors, and Gator utility vehicles, not to mention playing with our full line of John Deere attachments. And then you get to offer unbeatable financing and savings up to $400. In fact, the only thing we can think of that would be better than working at a John Deere dealership would be shopping at one. So come visit Pringle Tractor, your local John Deere dealer today, and let's make this deer season even better than the last one. Pringle Tractor in Watsonville and Salinas, or online at PringleTractor.com.
Here's citizen legislator Sam Blakesley, author of the successful DREAM initiative to protect our scenic coastline.
The Gulf oil spill is not only tragic, but it underscores why I supported a bipartisan effort to remove platforms off our coast. I also authored legislation that promotes clean, renewable energy so we can phase out our dependence on foreign oil.
Sam Blakesley is working to fix what's wrong with Sacramento.
We must reform a wasteful state government. That's why I wrote a bill blocking special interests from giving expensive gifts to legislators.
Sam Blakesley is fighting irresponsible spending.
I supported a spending cap to end budget deficits. I opposed job-killing tax hikes. And I reached across party lines to protect school funding.
Sam Blakesley is endorsed by the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association and the California Chamber of Commerce.
Taxpayers shouldn't foot the bill for Sacramento's mistakes.
Send the politicians a message. Send businessman Sam Blakesley to the Senate. He'll protect our coast and our tax dollars.
Paid for by Blakesley for Senate 2010.
You think another D.C. Republican or Democrat is going to do anything different? Think again. Establishment hacks have been taking turns at fleecing the people. There is one candidate that's independent, Gary Arnold. The Sentinel's called him a maverick. The Monterey Herald's called Gary Arnold the most outspoken. Former President Ronald Reagan had endorsed Gary Arnold twice, but when Reagan strong-armed the Republicans to support the largest tax increase at that time, Gary Richard Arnold stood up to the president in the White House. Gary Richard Arnold is truly independent. Gary Richard Arnold rejects the bureaucrats and the billionaire banksters who bilk us. Gary won't bow to Wall Street, K Street, or Washington. Ignore the cardboard signs and paper politicians. Gary's your man. Grab your ballot now. Before you go to the polls and mark Gary Richard Arnold, we have a fighter on our side.
I'm Gary Richard Arnold, running for Congress. I'm an independent, and I highly approve of this ad.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Gilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both my son Dino and I look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
Paid for by Larry Aceves for Superintendent of Public Instruction 2010, with funding from the Association of California School Administrators PAC, a coalition of principals and superintendents who support fiscal accountability, not authorized by a candidate or committee controlled by a candidate.
When you vote this year, you'll be faced with 12 candidates for superintendent. There's the usual collection of termed out legislators looking for their next office, but there's only one candidate who has actually been a superintendent, Larry Aceves.
Larry Aceves has real experience balancing budgets using sound, fiscally conservative accounting principles. He's been called old school because Larry Aceves believes in teaching the basics, proficiency in math, reading, and science, the skills students need to succeed in today's tough economy. 12 candidates, but only one with proven experience, Larry Aceves. So when you see superintendent of public instruction on your ballot, look for the retired school superintendent. There's only one, Larry Aceves, for superintendent.
Welcome back to don't want to break into Buffalo Springfield, do we? Which I have done and continue to do. Alright, we've never had a guest like Jothi Rosenberg in the station, and I'm happy to have him here. Real cool character who doesn't let anything get him down. And boy, life has dealt him some incredible, unfortunate blows, and he just dusts himself off and has become quite the entrepreneur. I wish there was time to talk about that. But we got callers that we've invited. So and if you want to give us a call, the number is 479-1080. If you're outside of the 831 area code, punch in 831 first. You can send an email to mz@ksco.com if you would like to contribute to the program that way. But for now, let's take Marshall's phone call. Marshall, you're on the air on KSCO.
Hey, hello. Can I start with a commercial?
Sure.
Stagneros, me and my dad used to sell fish to those guys.
Okay. I had breakfast there this morning at Gilda's.
it's a beautiful place, isn't
yeah,
it?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'd like to ask your guest. I didn't pay attention to the name.
Jothi.
What is it?
Jothi, J-O-T-H-Y, Jothi Rosenberg.
Oh, no wonder why I didn't get it.
Not a common name, but not a hard name. Yeah,
okay. Does he wear fins when he swims the Alcatraz?
I do.
Oh, sorry. Here, let me turn your mic
on. Or a fin? Do you wear one fin or two?
I do wear a fin. I discovered many years ago that the purpose of your kick in a long distance swim is not propulsion. It's really to keep you on the surface of the water. And so I kick in this sort of X-shaped pattern with a relatively small fin. And it sort of allows me to level things out, if you will. So, yeah.
Okay. I was going to say you're really a stud if you don't wear a fin. Or fins. but dude, you really are a stud. I admire you.
Thank you.
Keep it up.
Thanks, Marshall. Appreciate your call. 479-1080 if you want to call in. Michael in Live Oak, you're next.
Thank you very much for helping me to ride a bicycle. I've wanted to ride a bicycle for a long time. So being able to ride it with one leg is... But I got to figure out what to do with the one that doesn't work.
Wait a minute. Say that again?
What's wrong with the one that doesn't work?
Well, essentially, I've got a spike in my leg from a 6th fracture of the femur.
Yeah.
And they don't want to take the spike out, and so I can't really, really bend my knee.
I see.
To the point that I can ride a bicycle, but I can figure out a way to get my...
Well, you got to get it out of the way. I mean, one thing you can do is you can have the entire crank on that side and pedal removed. And then if you can get that leg comfortable just hanging... Then you're gonna be fine. Or
how many years have you been on one leg?
37.
Wow. Because you know what? I bet you. Have you ever seen X-rays of the joint on that leg?
Yes, I have, and I've done a lot of skiing, and I take pretty good care of it. Luckily, I.
Is it getting bigger?
my leg got 5 inches bigger in circumference.
Wow.
The muscles, yeah. But the other thing I was going to say to you is, you know, if you can't get that leg comfortable with on the right hand side sort of hanging down, then a recumbent bike would be great. You still just have, you know what a recumbent bike is, right?
Right.
So put that leg just now, it's horizontal, but it's held up, and now you're just cranking with your other good leg, and you'd have a blast. I mean, it's so great to get out there and not be held back or confined.
It's the best exercise, without a doubt.
It's unbelievable.
In my opinion, it defeats any depression anybody ever has, and that's one of the reasons why I look forward to writing it again. Once again, thank you for letting me know how.
Great.
Another question is, entrepreneur endeavors. Do you think you'll do a show on that? I hope.
Well, I'm.
I've been lobbying for him to get into talk radio. I think he'd be great.
So you know, twist my arm maybe. But what I want to do is I feel like it took me a long time to get this message right, and there are two chapters in the book about entrepreneurship. So you know, there's a lot in there about it, and I am giving a series of talks all over the country about this. And depending on the audience, sometimes I really do take a very entrepreneurial kind of spin on the talk. But I also want to create a third leg of the stool, if you will. You know, the book, the talks, and I want to do a TV show. Now, MZ wants me to do a talk radio show. So, but you know, we can add that in later. You know, who says I can't, right?
Right.
Get on your feet.
So the TV show, and I'd love everybody.
That was bad. Did you hear what he said?
I did.
That was bad.
I figured that if I just kept going, we would pretend we didn't hear it.
I was there. I was there in the beginning of television, and I have to tell you, anyone live television like what you're having there at KSDO, you know, is a magnificent thing to watch. As a matter of fact, I've been waiting for KSDO's version of Fireside Theater among the employees.
Oh.
You think that'll ever happen?
I was telling Jothi, you know, off the air, that we want to have at least a webcam one of these days. And I want to redo the talk studio here and put in state-of-the-art audio equipment. It's not all that much more expensive to put in state-of-the-art video equipment and a green screen and so forth. So maybe we could do your radio, your TV show here. But you're back on the other side of the country. You're not really a Santa Cruzan anymore.
Well, you know, it's the flights are pretty short. It's not that big
cool.
a deal.
All right. Well, we'll talk. We'll talk.
Not to mention that he's talking about video. In other words, now with video.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
We're all together on the internet.
It's true. Through, you know, you must do meetings, you know, and webinars and things like that, right? You're probably going to be doing more and more of those.
Right. Well, what I wanted, let me just say one thing, though. The TV show idea is, it's not about me. There are, what I learned in this whole process of trying to get this book out is, boy, is it hard to get out in this sort of noisy media world if you're not already famous.
Yeah.
And you don't even have to have a very, you know, important message. If you're famous, you can get out there.
Right.
And it's an uphill battle for someone who isn't. Even when people who pick up the book, I mean, you see on the back that Jonathan Alter, you know, very famous guy, loves this book, wrote about it. Even so, it's hard to get the word out. Well, the TV show is about people with that sort of fall into three categories, or criteria. They are not famous. They have been knocked down hard by life in some way. It's anything, birth defects. Trauma, cancer, you know, I want to do some wounded vets. And thirdly, similar to me, they've used sports to come back because there's something really amazing about the ability to use a sport to kind of prove back to yourself that you can do it. You can actually focus really hard and get better than you ever thought possible. And that self-confidence is so powerful, a positive force. And it flows over into every other aspect of your life. I mean, honestly, that's what enabled me to go get the PhD and go start these companies. And I want to focus on people who were able to do that as well. For example, there's this guy, Butch Lumpkin. He was born with no arms. He has a small residual stump, less than 4 inches on the right side.
Yeah.
He is a handicap 9 golfer. He can drive the ball 260 yards. He holds the club between his chin and his chest. and he uses this short residual stump of an arm, and he has just, this is just an example of people will focus, work, and put themselves through more to accomplish, you know, achievement of sport than other people. And they've known this for years. They used to study polio victims and found the same thing was true. And I'm going to highlight these people. They deserve to be out there.
Has to happen for you to do this show? Are you going to start it? Where are you going to start it? How are you going to get it out?
So what we're going to do first is I've got two cameramen are here with me, and we're going to film the Alcatraz swim tomorrow. We also have footage of me skiing this year that was well done. I was skiing one of the steepest inbound slopes in the United States, a 45-degree pitch. And we've got footage of biking. So we're going to put together one of these sizzle reels. That's what they call it in the biz. You know, it's I don't know anything about the biz, but I'm learning. And this is what we'll use to sell it. It'll be just a 5-minute thing that'll show what we really want to try to do in this TV series. The third person in our partnership is the former executive producer of NBC, the guy that actually created the Today Show 30 years ago.
Wow.
And we are hoping and counting on the fact that he will be able to have entree into the big networks.
Is he still with NBC?
No, he's independent now, and he's going to go open doors for us.
Yeah.
And we've also started some dialogue with some of the big potential corporate sponsors.
Yeah.
And but once we get a nibble, once we get some network that says, you know what, that I'm tired of all the negative stuff. I'm going to put something positive. Okay,
you got to give out your website and you got to give out your email address. Maybe, just maybe, some person listening. I mean, it's
okay, so
a possibility.
So the website is easy. It's Who Says I Can't. One word, no apostrophe. .net. So that's easy. Who Says I Can't. .net. And I'm just Jothy, Jothy. At whosaysicant.net. Simple.
Cool.
And I'd love to, if people have, but once we get that going, then I'll be back. We'll talk about the talk show.
Yeah. And you
can ask one more question.
Ask as many as you want.
Do you find people get uncomfortable watching you deal with big challenge?
Well, it's
because I notice a lot of people want to, you know, when they see something that's disabled, they're afraid of it.
There's definitely that phenomenon.
Afraid? And,
well, turned away.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah, uncomfortable.
Okay.
So we know for a fact that we won't get picked up by the big commercial networks for that exact reason. They won't put people with disabilities on those big networks. ABC.
Unless you're a jackass.
Well.
Because you know what? One of the reasons why I called originally is I was originally offended that you would encourage some people that are amputees to push further than I would recommend that they do.
Why? Why would you even fleetingly feel like that?
Well, you're in denial as I am, okay? And so we allow our spirit to carry over where our body can't. But not everybody has that ability.
Well, I have, you know, I respect your view on that. I don't personally agree, because every time I've interacted with people who have some challenge, physical challenge, they've always wanted to try to push themselves, and not to the point of detriment, but just
right.
They want to push themselves. But I know why you now asked about the knee. You wanted to know if I'd, you know, worn out my knee joint. Well, I've been.
Well, my disability happened later in life. Okay, I wasn't disabled at a young age. So as I got older, I tried to adapt, as you say, to profound physical labor. As a matter of fact, took on a job that demanded the whole thing, and I didn't let them know I was an amputee.
Way to go, Michael.
And the nice thing about it is thank you for allowing me airtime to talk about this.
Thanks for helping being a great part of the program.
Thank you.
Okay. Here's Kevin in Prunedale. Kevin, welcome to the Saturday special with MZ and Jothy.
Yeah, good morning, you guys.
Hey,
I just wanted to let you know there's some guy up there at the San Jose Motocross track. I think it's 831 Moto or whatever the guy calls the track. And
yeah.
He's a paraplegic. And he goes out there and rides a motocross bike.
Well, I'm going to have him on the TV show then.
Yeah, he straps his legs onto the bike, and they've modified the bike somewhat to fit him, you know, a higher seat because he can't put his legs down and other things. But I think this guy was a former pro motocrosser that got paralyzed in an accident, you know, racing, and he's back out there doing it. I mean, you talk about somebody that's got some heart. This guy's got it.
That's exactly the kind of person I want. That's exactly you guys.
So what's his name, and how does Jothi get in touch with him?
I think if you go up to the San Jose 831MX, it has a website, and I don't know his name exactly. I used to go to the races all the time and do all that stuff, but recently I haven't been, and I apologize for that. But I bet there's people up there that know of him.
Well, could we possibly give you a volunteer assignment?
I could ask. And you that go up there all the time and find out who he is.
Track him down, and then you know my email is just jothi@whosaysicant.net.
Well, I don't have a computer, so I can't do that. Do you got a phone number, or can I call the station and they can get a hold of you guys?
Whatever you want.
Sure, okay. I don't mind giving out my cell phone. It's
617-306-8121. 8121.
Yeah, so that's a Boston number.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But yeah, this guy he passed me, you know, and I go pretty good. I'm older now and stuff, but that son of a gun passed me.
Well,
and I thought I didn't get mad or anything. I thought, right on, dude.
You wouldn't have been much of a sport if you had gotten mad.
Yeah. No. I mean, everybody just gives him props all day long. How could you not? You know, I mean, you got to be evil not to tell a guy right on. And I don't care how he looks, if he looks bad or whatever, what people think, like, how can he do that? That's a bunch of crap, you know. It's just envy in my eyes, you know. I think anybody that does that kind of stuff, more power to them, you know. Anybody that's handicapped should get out there and do their best and give them all the power for it, you know.
Yeah, well, thanks for your comments.
And we're really happy you called, Prunedale, Kevin. You know.
Yeah, you guys rule, man. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. 479-1080. We're in the home stretch of the program. If you want to talk to Jothi on closing minutes of the Saturday special today, love to hear from you. Or last minute email time, mz@ksco.com. You can shoot me an email anytime, and I'm usually pretty good at responding. But if you want to call us, it's 479-1080. Jothi, so what's your best time? What's your best time swimming to Alcatraz?
There was one year where I actually did it in 36 minutes. It's a mile and a half. But I think the conditions were just absolutely ideal. My normal time is around 38, 39 minutes. And in my age group, which is the 50 to 55 age group, last year that got me 14th place. But I have a strategy for winning, okay? You want to hear what my strategy for winning is?
Si, senor.
I'm going to outlive all the people that are beating me. That's my strategy for winning.
That'll work.
I'm going to still be doing it, you know, when I'm 80 so that I can, you know, be up there. And
How old, I shouldn't say was, I mean, maybe Jack LaLanne is still doing it. I mean, that's what he would drag all these, you know.
You know, I remember him doing it at least into his mid-70s.
Uh-huh. He's like 95 now or something like that. He's been on this show and other KSCO shows. God, incredibly positive guy.
Right.
Yeah. You probably talked to him, right?
I haven't. No. But I remember all those great stories.
Uh-huh. Well, that's terrific. So what else? What's on the docket for you, you know, after this event? You're out on the West Coast specifically for this event.
Yeah,
right?
I go home on Monday. We come out. Uh-huh. You know, my whole family comes out. They're probably, you know, outside the studio right now.
Tell us about your family.
Well, I just celebrated my 29th anniversary with my wife, Carol.
Wow.
And we've got three kids, two boys and a girl, 34, 26, and 25. And my 34-year-old has a son, so I have a 9-year-old grandson.
Wow.
Which, you know, just a fantastic family. My the boys both live in California, opposite extremes, one in Eureka and one in San Diego.
Oh, boy.
And my son, Zach, just a year ago, last summer, graduated from law school down there, passed the bar right away, and got a job in the, like, the the nuclear winter of the economy.
It doesn't happen.
I know. He got a job down there. And then my daughter just a few weeks ago graduated with a master's in social work from Boston College. And so she's going to come home from this trip and start looking for a job in social work. So everybody's real busy and you know, getting their careers going and focused.
Yeah, so you could visit the kids and grandkids, you know, when you come
right
out here. So,
right. We cool. We do come out to California at least a couple times a year.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we'll come visit you.
This is good. This is good. All right. Well, let's see. It looks like someone's trying to call here, but I don't know whether we can. I don't know. Maybe that's just a comment. People call the radio program and they tell Nikki, they make their comments and don't want to go on the air. Oh, this one does want to go on the air? No, no. Just they just want to listen. Maybe it's for the next program or something. Jothi Rosenberg, who says I can't? And it's who says I can't. .net. If they go to .com, is that taken by someone else?
Yeah, that's yeah. taken.
Okay, so it's who says I can't, no apostrophe, who says I can't, .net.
Net. Yeah.
Okay, and you can get the book that way. Can you get it on Amazon or
you
whatever?
You can get it on Amazon. Uh-huh. I've got it on the Kindle, and I've got it on the iPad.
Oh, cool. I'm telling you, they're just so neat.
Yeah,
so
yeah. So it's really fun to read on the
I've got
iPad.
A Kindle app on my iPhone, but it's a little too small.
It's a little small. Yeah, but the iPad, the color pictures are in color. It's
right.
gorgeous.
Yeah. Hey, well, thanks for being with us. Continued
Thank
success
you so
and
much.
Luck with you. Fantastic job. Way to go. I'm sure you. I won't say any of those things about you're an inspiration. Oh, wait a minute. I just did. Right, that's the end of the show. See you next week, gang. Take care.
That's all, folks.
KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It is 12 noon.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Regal. It's a lot of area to worry about.
From the Mississippi-Louisiana line, clear over to Port St. Joe in Florida. In regards to that, we've got a lot of people out doing cleanup operations on the beach.
Coast Guard Admiral Thad Allen, as the ugliness gushing from a mile beneath the surface of the sea continues to ooze on shore, the Gulf's white beaches are increasingly seeing a glaze of rust-colored tar balls, and all that crude oil is washing up further east now. President Obama recorded his weekly address during yesterday's visit to Grand Isle, Louisiana.
If laws are inadequate, laws will be changed. If oversight was lacking, it will be strengthened. And if laws were, those responsible will be brought to justice.
Government figures estimate that well has leaked nearly 50 million gallons of oil since the rig exploded 6 weeks ago. A cap placed over the well is believed to be capturing at least a quarter of the well's output, but much continues to get out into the water. In their weekly response, Republicans called for a Justice Department investigation into allegations of the White House trying to interfere in primaries by offering candidates they didn't like a job.
The president promised transparency. All we have right now is a series of transparent cover-ups. So much for change you can believe in.
Republican Party head Michael Steele spoke for the GOP this week. President Obama announcing today he's nominating retired General James Clapper to be the nation's next director of intelligence. The nomination has to be approved by the Senate.
I've spoken to the appropriate Senate leaders, and I've indicated that I expect this nomination to be completed during this work period. This nomination can't fall victim to the usual Washington politics.
The president spoke at the White House. The former director of intelligence was Dennis Blair, and he resigned last month. You're listening to Fox News Radio, Fair and Balanced.
From the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Gore Vidal is best known as an American novelist and known as one of the most prominent liberal public intellectuals of the 20th century. Here is Vidal in the early 60s on the political state of art in the U.S.
You are born into a society and you are shaped by it, whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not. Each of us is born into a prison of received opinion, of superstition, and of prejudices. Now, one of the functions of art is to try and define the prison. A, the artist must know he's in it, and many of them don't, and those are the bad artists. They just take it for granted. This is the way things are. They don't know that there are worlds, as Shakespeare said, there is a world elsewhere. They don't see anything past these bars. The prison is going to break you eventually, but you can at least get a look out. And it's the lookout that is art.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
In a muddy field outside Peoria, Illinois, state police are searching for leads in the disappearance of Stacy Peterson. Peterson disappeared in 2007. Her husband, ex-Chicago cop Drew Peterson, has long been called a person of interest in her disappearance. He's facing murder charges in the death of his third wife. Almost a week after the deadly interception of a Turkish-flagged ship offering humanitarian aid to Gaza, the Israeli army is taking control of another aid ship. The Rachel Corrie was carrying 11 pro-Palestinian activists, 9 crew, and hundreds of tons of aid. It was intercepted and boarded in international waters after it refused to divert to an Israeli port. Israel says there was no resistance. Israel has blockaded the Hamas-ruled territory of Gaza for 3 years now. How do you spell success?
The winning word for the 83rd Scripps Spelling Bee.
Stromore. S-T-R-O-M-U-H-R, Stromore.
We have a winner.
The new champ, Anamika Viramani, nailed it with the word for a tool used to measure blood flow and speed. Her secret to spelling success?
I'm a horrible memorizer. I can't memorize anything. And I just know the words by their definitions and the etymology and the part of speech. All of that helps.
A nerve-wracking end as contestants scrunched their faces and traced out words with their fingers. Anamika winning $40,000 in cash and prizes. Lori London, Fox News Radio.
The man who brought us Margaritaville is mourning the environmental crisis in the Gulf. Singer Jimmy Buffett is planning to open a hotel in Pensacola Beach, Florida in 2 weeks, a beach that's now threatened by the BP oil spill. Buffett took a walk on the beach with Florida Governor Charlie Crist today and is promising to be there for the people who live there. He says if he's good for anything, it's helping people forget their troubles for just a little bit. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.